Lord, that's a song that says we owe everything to you. We are not sustained by ourselves. We're not keeping ourselves going. We're sustained by you. You put breath in our lungs. We can't do this without you, and we weren't designed to live without you. So, Lord, I pray that we would be renewed in not only our minds and in understanding how much we depend on you, but I pray that we would be renewed in our spirits, that your breath, the Spirit of God, would fill us afresh, that we would be renewed in you and your work, and that the result would be praise to you. The result would be fresh expressions of loving you, of declaring how much you are worth, of entering into your worship, and of living lives of gratitude because your Spirit has filled us again. Lord, fill us with your presence. Make yourself known here this morning. Have your way among us. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a few minutes to make others feel welcome. Please do so. And then we will regroup in a few minutes. If parents need activity bins, we'll make sure that you can get them. So please make others feel welcome, and we'll regroup momentarily. All right. Let's get back to it. Let's continue on. Let me just give you a few announcements first. If you're wondering, there's no news. Okay, there's no news, no new news. Nothing that we have to report from Hope Mission. So keep praying, and we wait for the Lord. And we will provide more information when it becomes available. But clearly it's still time to pray, so we will do that. Just one update from the council. We had a council meeting this week and decided that we wanted to start cleaning up our email lists and to reflect those who are currently attending. And so if your name and email address for some reason get dropped off by mistake, please let us know and we'll make sure it gets back on there. But just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Also, you know that we had this special offering for the Dream Center for about a month, and I'm happy to report you gave, what was it, something like $3,500 roughly to the Dream Center. So well done. Way to go, Unity. Good job. As you know, the Dream Center is in this place of real financial need, and that does continue, but you put a dent in it, and I say bless you for it, and well done. And if the Lord continues to prompt you to keep thinking about that need, perhaps it's time to sign up for some monthly giving for them. But continue to pray for them regardless, because they do good work. They do good work. And as some of you will know, we had a baptism yesterday. So congratulations to Dave and Kelly. Dave and Kelly and Jim were baptized yesterday at the river, and bless all of you who made it with last minute notice and took time out of a Saturday. I mean, that's prime time, and you sacrificed, and some of you drove away to make sure that you could support a brother, and that was awesome. And our brothers, all three of these brothers, made their way through the Dream Center. And so in a sense, they were baptized because they've been here. That's profound. So as you think about what this place is about and how it can change lives as God is at work here, as you think about giving, that's in a sense what we do and hope to give into, because we want to see God's work move forward. And this baptism yesterday was extra special in one sense because it was this joint effort between a couple of different churches. Not only was Unity represented there, but Crossroads was represented there. I was baptizing these guys alongside Pastors Ken and Dave from Crossroads. And then we had some brothers and sisters from Summit Church there as well. So it was just this sort of bigger family, extended family gathering, which was really, really special. And so, as you know, we've been praying for other churches this summer, and I want to just pray for Summit Church. I have friends at Summit Church. I don't know their pastor very well. I have had coffee with him once, TJ Green. You can pray for him. He's got a real flair and passion for healing and revival, and they see a lot of that, and that's awesome. And as you know, Matt and Hannah Disson, who've been a big part of the healing ministry that really trained a lot of us in inner healing and that kind of thing, they worship there. And in a sense, our church has been blessed by those who go to Summit, probably even more than you realize. And we have a number of friends and, you know, in a sense, extended family members there, and they're doing really good work in the city. And I want to speak blessing and pray blessing over them. They're in the middle of renovating and building a location over on Taylor, and they're God's doing good work in the city through our brothers and sisters there. And so I just want to pray blessings and remind us that there's only one church in Red Deer. That God only has one church. And we all have our own flavors and interests and callings. And sometimes there's overlap and sometimes there isn't. But we can still say you love Jesus and pray blessings on them and affirm the good work that God is doing through our brothers and sisters. So let's pray for Summit. Lord, I thank you so much for the ways that you are at work at Summit Church and what you are doing in Red Deer through this part of your body of believers. And so, Lord, I bless their leadership. I bless TJ, I bless Matt and Hannah and Jesse and the others that we know there who are serving you and want to see more of your kingdom being established in Red Deer as your body comes together to worship. So Lord, would you bless them? Bless them in healing ministry. Bless them in their evangelism. Bless them as they worship. I pray blessings on their build, that the finances would be there, that the work would be done well, and that you would be in it all and in establishing your church, and in order that we would see more of the kingdom established in Red Deer and beyond. So Lord, I pray blessings on our brothers and sisters. And Lord, as we enter into a time of going to your word, Lord, would you renew us? Would you renew us in love for you? Would you renew us in not only our minds, but in our hearts, in our commitment to you? Lord, would you do your work among us such that we look more like Jesus? And that as a result, we get the results Jesus got when he interacted with others because the world was changed through him. And we believe that you will change the world through your church, and you are doing that. So do that in Summit, do it at the Dream Center, do it through Unity. Have your way among us. I pray for the ripple effects of revival as you pour out your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you will know, a couple of years ago, this word revival came to me, and the first time that it really came to me, I went to this classic passage on revival, which many of you will know. It's out of the Book of Chronicles. If my people, who are called by my name, will, and do you remember how it goes? Will humble themselves and will pray and will turn. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will come and I will heal their land, right? It's this passage that sees revival happening as people turn away from something, repent, and seek God. It's this model of, Jeff Gowdy calls it the bottom falling out. He studied under a guy who really focused on revival, Bill McLeod. And Bill McLeod used to say that revival isn't the top blowing off, it's the bottom falling out as people fall down in repentance and contrition and make themselves get right with God. And that is part of revival, or that's a model for revival. There's a different one as well. So some people really emphasize the bottom falling out. There's a different model of where revival sometimes happens, and that you see that in Acts 1 and 2, and Jeff Gowdy actually spoke on that a number of weeks ago when he was here, where it's this model of people, the people of God being in one accord. We're all going to agree together. We're going to come together in unity and seek the Lord and pray, and God pours out his spirit. That's Acts 1 and 2. So there's these different models of revival that students of revival will sometimes point to and say, if we want to see God renew us, here's sort of the program Here are some of the common steps or common factors that we see when before God pours out his Spirit, before he renews people. It's humility, it's repentance, it's confession, it's prayer, it's coming together and agreeing with one another. It's these kinds of things. You'll notice that there are other places in Scripture where before God really moves, his people enter into fasting. That might be another thing that you could add to our list. And yet there's one more pattern that I can think of that doesn't fit those. And it actually comes out in a song. Would you put that first slide up for me, please, Olivia? I heard this song a couple of years ago by a group called, or collective, whatever they're called, named Jesus Culture. And the song's called Why Not Right Now? And one of the lines that gets repeated in this song is, if you did it before, you'll do it again. It's just a matter of time, so why not right now? And even on the cover, you can't see the pictures very clearly, but I believe that's John Wesley on the right-hand side and John G. Lake down there in the middle on the left. And these guys in their own ministry saw huge amounts of God pouring out his Spirit and people being renewed and fully committed to God and massive healings and conversions and that kind of thing. But it doesn't fit. That the song itself doesn't fit the models that I'd been given, the ones that I just outlined as far as, you know, either the bottom falling out or the one accord model. It didn't fit with either of those. I would call this third model of revival precedent. Precedent is that fancy word for you did it before, you'll do it again. Yeah, it has like a legal implication sometimes, right? You often hear about it in law cases. Well, precedent was set, and now therefore we have to follow it in the future. You also see it happen in legal cases in your homes with your children when they say, well, you did it for so-and-so. Now, that's maybe not the most positive example, but it's this sense of, Lord, you've done these things before. Why wouldn't you do it now? We've heard about when you've really touched people. We've seen dramatic transformations. Sometimes we could say, I have my own story of God doing that. Lord, well, you did it again. I've got this, you did it before. I've got this precedent. Why wouldn't you do it again? And yet, I really like the song. And I'm not criticizing it at all. But in my journey of listening to this song and praying for revival, when I only had these two models in Scripture, this one accord model and this the bottom falling out model, repentance and all of that, this song didn't fit because the song didn't have any program of let's repent, let's call people to prayer, let's get together in one accord. The song just has this, well, you did it before, let's do it again. And I loved the idea, but I didn't have a scripture to ground it in until this summer. And we've been praying, I hope, and memorizing Psalm 85. Will you not revive us again, that your people may delight in you? So would you go to that psalm, please? The psalm doesn't start with revival. It starts with anger, which is an interesting place to begin. And it might be tempting just to preach the happy stuff, but that's not actually preaching all of God's word. And so I do want to start where the psalm starts. And it starts at an interesting place. So I'm going to read the first five verses to us. I'm reading it at the NIV. This is a prayer. Okay? So it's the author, the psalmist, as we sometimes call him, or them, talking to the Lord and saying, you, Lord, you showed favor to your land. He's looking back at the past. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. We were in one spot, but because you're at work, we were then in another. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. At one point in the past, you did that. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Pause there. God does get angry. You don't want a God that doesn't get angry, and we have talked about that before. I just remind you of it. Sometimes God gets angry. And yet there's also this scripture that says his anger is but for a, louder, please, moment. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. So the psalmist here is looking back and saying, Lord, we're living with the ongoing effects of what feels like your anger, and it's past that moment. Would you now put it away? That's bold. I like that. That makes me stop. And I'm like, I think I'm being called, we are being called by this psalm, because remember, God inspired this psalm. In other words, this is God saying, I want you to learn to pray like this. That's why the psalms are there. Learn to pray like these people pray. I've given it my yes. So there's a way for us to enter into it. And yet this psalmist seems to know there's no current reason for you to be angry. So maybe before we get too punchy with God, we should just maybe check ourselves and make sure, yep, I'm up to date on my confessions. There's nothing going on in my life or our life, because of course this is a corporate prayer. There's nothing going on that would indicate to me that you should be currently angry, and yet we are experiencing your current anger in a way that has, the time has passed. We're beyond the moment, and we need to move on here, Lord. Move on here, Lord, in a really bold way. Put it away, Lord. I like that. Can you think of a character in the Bible who demonstrated that, who prayed that way? Yes. Well done. Bonus points for Letta. Moses. Moses did that. Probably others too, if you had other answers. But Moses was the one I was thinking of, right? He has this sort of boldness that comes, I think, from a confidence in his relationship with the Lord. I'm secure in my relationship with the Lord, partly because I know I've dealt with stuff, right? So he's got that sort of security, and he can say to the Lord, I know you're angry, but we have to move on. And even in the moment, you know, his anger is but for a moment. He's like, even cut this moment short, Lord. Like, we've got to move on here. I want that. There's an invitation in this psalm. There is an invitation in Moses' relationship with the Lord for us to enter into. There's space available for us to become like that with the Lord. Do you want that kind of relationship with God, where you're so close and so secure in your walk with the Lord that you can have those raw, bold, honest conversations where it's like, we're experiencing your displeasure right now and we shouldn't be anymore, Lord. I want to get there. There's an invitation for us, I think, to get there. So the psalmist says, Lord, we need to move on. We need to go to a new place here now, Lord. Then look at verse 6. This is the one we've been memorizing, right? Lord, let's get over the anger. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Verse 7, show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. The psalmist looks to God and says, we're yours. We're already yours. We're your people. We're your people. So would you renew your actionable love towards us? We know you've got content, you've got love stored up in your heart, but we want to actually experience again. Will you not show us in tangible ways the love that you have for us? Lord, do it again. Do it again. I need to be revived in my heart for you, and if you will pour out some mercy and love, it would go a long way towards your people, myself and your people, saying, we want to be yours. We are yours, but help us enter into that. We need a boost, Lord. Do you need a boost? Could you do, for those of you listening online, someone just went, whoop, whoop. We need a boost. Sometimes we just need a boost. It's like saying, God, you know I love you. Just help me out. Just help me out here, Lord. I want to love you more. Do you ever just come to God like that? I haven't been experiencing a lot of your favor, Lord, lately, and you know that I still love you. Don't test me any further. Please just help me out. Do you ever offer prayers like that? Just help me out, Lord. That's what the psalmist is doing. Because, Lord, in my life currently, as far as I know, it's not a matter of repentance that's holding you back. It's not a matter of one accord before you get together, before you'll pour out your spirit. Sometimes it's just, Lord, you've been gracious to me. You've been gracious to your people in the past. Why not right now? I've got precedent. I'm calling precedent, God. You poured out your spirit on me. You poured out your spirit on my church 3 years ago, or four, or five, or whatever it was. Why not right now? Lord, will you not revive us again because we want to worship you with our whole heart? We're doing our best, but we could use a boost. I have this friend in Ontario. He's got this, I would call it an intercessor gift. Intercessor is someone who's just sort of, they got a burden, a call to pray, and they just sort of enter into it, and they tend to sort of be able to, without really even realizing it at times, move with what the Lord is saying and doing, and pray the prayers that the Lord is looking for. About a year ago, or maybe more, I started regularly praying, Lord, raise up intercessors for me, for the leadership at Unity, for the church as a whole, for your work here. Lord, raise up intercessors, please. Well, my friend starts sending me texts out of the blue, weekly, of just prayers for our church. He's never been here. He doesn't even love you like I love you. God just birthed something or nudged him. And you know what's really interesting about these prayers is so often, without any prompting or communication from me whatsoever, he will pray something related to what I or we are going through. It has blown me away. You know what was included in his prayer this week? The words, revive us again, after I had already decided we're preaching on this passage this week and this verse. God birthed the prayer that goes with the message because this is for us now. And yes, I want model one of the bottom falling out, and we need that. And yes, I want model two of coming together in one accord. That's why part of the reason why I want to pray for unity among the churches and bless the other churches in this city. But there's also just, Lord, I claim precedent. You've done it before, you'll do it again. Will you not revive us again? Just do it, Lord. So I know that's God's call and God's prayer for us in this season. Would you take a moment and just pause and close your eyes and just offer your heart to the Lord again? Just offer our church to the Lord again, and then make that prayer. Will you not revive us again? Lord, we could just use some renewal. Each one of us individually, our families, our churches, Unity Baptist, the church in Red Deer in Central Alberta, we could use renewal. Will you not revive us again, that your people may experience something of you that evokes a rejoicing, where gratitude gets expressed spontaneously because of how good you are and the experience of you? We offer our hearts to you, Lord. We offer our church to you. Do your work, Lord. We're looking for you. Amen. Of course, that's the middle of the psalm, isn't it? And yet there's this shift that happens in the next part. Let's look at it. Pick it up at verse 8. So he's just prayed, revive us, show us your unfailing love. We need to experience it, not just know it's there. And he says in verse 8, I will listen to what God the Lord says. That's always a really good move. When you pray, then look for how God might be responding to you. Offer him some space to do that. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises, NIV says promises, other translations just say, he will speak peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. And then he starts to talk about revival experienced. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. There will be abundance. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. There's something about that prayer for revival that God would show in recognizable, tangible ways that he loves us. There's something that actually gets put in motion by that prayer. It's like the psalmist now enters into this realm of seeing it's happening. And the Lord will do these things, but it started to happen already. It's like the prayer put it in motion. Do you have that sort of expectation of the Lord that he actually does want this for his people? We don't have to work him up to it or butter up God as though he needed help in remembering that he loves his people, right? I probably didn't put that rightly, but properly, but God has favor. And the psalmist looks at this and says, it's starting to be experienced right after I pray it. And yet it hasn't fully shown up yet. Our land will, verse 12, yield its harvest. It's there, and it hasn't yet fully manifested. So the psalmist is then caught in this. I'm praying for revival. I'm now sort of, it's almost like looking at what's now happening in heaven, in the supernatural, and we sometimes call it chess, but I haven't yet experienced it down here in the world I can see, in what we call checkers sometimes. I haven't yet seen that the harvest is here, that there is abundance. We haven't yet experienced that, but it's there, right? Love and faithfulness are now meeting together. Righteousness and peace are now kissing each other. Faithfulness is springing forth from the earth. Righteousness looks down from the heaven. It's here, and the Lord will give. It's here and it's not here. And we're sometimes caught, and we're being called to live into a place where we look through faith for what can't be seen to see it. It's this strange posture that we need to learn to enter into. That there, we know that the shift took place up there, but we're waiting for it to manifest down here. So do we live with hope? Do we live with expectation that when we pray, Lord, revive us, that he'll do it? I want to practice this for a moment. I want to practice verses 6 to 8. I want to take verses 6 to 8 and sit with them for a few moments. So this is our second prayer exercise this morning. We're going to take those verses, thank you for putting them up, unprompted, well done. Take verses 6 to 8, look at them, pray them, and let's just wait for the Lord. Let's wait because it says, I will listen. He promises peace to his people. And let's see what sort of peace he speaks to us. Let's take a few moments. I'm going to ask you in a moment if anyone has a message of peace they would like to share. I'll give you that opportunity. As I was sitting here praying into that a little bit, I had this word abundance come back. And the picture of the three guys who'd gone through the Dream Center and were then baptized at the river yesterday as like this foretaste of more of this is coming. God will speak peace to his people. What about you? Any message of peace from the Lord that you think you might want to share with us this morning? You can speak peace over a baby. See, all done. Let us learn in prayer to listen for the Lord and not discount the positive things that come to mind as though that's just you making yourself feel good. Sometimes we actually don't recognize God speaking because it's actually more positive and gracious and loving than what we are accustomed to telling ourselves. I will speak peace to my people who pray for revival, who pray, Lord, you did it before. Have we experienced tastes of revival or renewal in our church? We have. Lord, you did it. You did it then. Do it again. Have you experienced it in your own life? And you say, Lord, I long for those days. Would you renew my heart because I want to offer it to you in new measure? I think he says yes. I'm going to play that song for you. We're going to close out. Let's pray. Lord, we want to become the people that you have always intended us to be. We want to become the church that you have always intended us to be. And we've seen glimmers and glimpses of this in our lives, personally and corporately. And we go back to your scriptures and we pray the prayer that you inspired and say, Lord, will you not revive us again that we may enter into all that you have called us to be, all that you offer, because there is more. The result will be that we rejoice in you, that you get the credit, that it's not something we do on our own. So Lord, we claim precedent again. We remind you of those times where you have renewed our hearts. Would you not renew our hearts again today? Where there are blockages or barriers, would you identify them and guide us in working through them that the result would be revival? And when that's the case, Lord, deal with us. Lord, when it's simply a matter of coming to you again and pressing in and saying, I know you have a heart for this, Lord, then guide us to pray those prayers. And to look through the eyes of faith where it's here and it's not yet here and to pray it in, Lord, would you renew us in prayer to see your work done among us, to see your work done in your city, to see your work done in our family members who need a touch, who need eyes to be opened that they would see Jesus for who he is. Lord, would you pour out your spirit in new measure, that the fruit of the spirit would increase in our lives, that the gifts of the spirit would be manifested to serve the body of Christ, that we would walk and talk and act like Jesus by the power of your Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. Lord, would you prove your word true in our lives? Would you prove your word true to the watching world? Lord, will you not revive us again to these ends? Lord, Jesus says that we will do greater works than him. Well, we need you to revive us for that to happen. We cannot do anything except by the power of your Holy Spirit. We are dependent on you, so we come to you in prayer saying, Lord, Lord, do your work among us. We offer ourselves wholeheartedly to you. We love you. We love you. Guide us in expressing that. Guide us in seeking you, that you may have your way in your church. May you have a beautiful and spotless and passionate bride for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought about just ending with that song, but Sarah had picked a revival song as well, and there's something to actually owning it, rather than simply sitting there and praying it or agreeing on the screen. So would you rise and would you enter into, this is a different one than what we just sang, but still it can be offered as a prayer and to say to the Lord, Lord, we need you to do your work. So let's worship. Revival is not for ourselves, it is all for Jesus. But he speaks his peace over us that we might go all in for Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. He will speak peace to his people. Receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings on you, friends. Have a great week.